a peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, inside the convention center at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And man, I don't know if I've ever seen a better rookie season than the one that my next guest had. And that is the quarterback of the Houston Texans, a game changer, a stud, already a top five quarterback, in my opinion, in the NFL. He is CJ Stroud on behalf of Visa today. CJ, great to see you. Congratulations on all your success. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
So I remember the last time I talked to you, I was at the Heisman, and it was right before the college football playoff game up against Georgia. And people were kind of down on you, even though you were a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. And I said to you, I know you haven't made a decision yet on declaring for the draft, but if I'm a GM, why should I take you number one overall? And something that stood out to me, you said, you're more mobile than what people give you credit for, and you hope to put that on display soon. I'm just wondering, since that conversation, we've seen it on the field, have you kind of learned to use your legs and move around the pocket a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've always kind of had that skill. Stop being a young kid. I'm not like super fast, but I'm pretty elusive, and I can extend plays. And I think I did that my whole career, but people highlight a game and they don't know what's going on behind the scenes, you know? So it was a lot of things that I was dealing with in college that, I couldn't run because I was injured or things like that. And I fought through that injury and still tried to play. So I know it's all old news, and I think I'm proving those people wrong right now. So I've been having a ball, you know, extending plays at the next level against the best players in the world.
I thought your draft coverage was bullcrap. Like, if people didn't want you to be the first quarterback, you know, second quarterback, whatever it was, but this S2 cognitive test, like, it had to annoy you, right? That people were basically saying that's why you shouldn't get drafted.
Not necessarily. Like, I wasn't happy about it, but I mean, it wasn't the first time people wrote me off or tried to get me to be less than I knew my potential was, you know. So I really was kind of ready for it in a sense, because I knew something was going to come with the process. It kind of is how it goes
all the time,
you know. So I mean, I was blessed enough to fight through that and still create great relationships with these GMs and the owners and the head coaches. And so I think I have a lot of respect around the league on how I conduct myself in that manner, of course. And then you turn on the film, you can clearly tell that I was a smart quarterback and I'm still doing it now. So, you know, it's all good. I don't have any ill will or any, I'm not mad at anybody.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't happen to anybody else, but I knew that I was strong enough to go through it.
Talking to CJ Stroud right now, what did this year kind of mean to you? How do you kind of put it into words? Because it was so surreal to watch. I can't imagine actually living through it.
It was special, man, you know, just having the opportunity to start as a rookie from game one all the way into to the playoffs. You know, just a lot of learning, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of growing, you know. So I had an amazing time just playing with my teammates and having a great time with them. So, I mean, I just say this season was special. And it's just something I'm going to learn from.
Did you know the night of the draft that you were going to be the second overall pick to the Texans? Because it was clear the Panthers were taking Bryce Young, right?
Not really. I didn't know where. I thought I could have went one all the way to 10. You know, like, I didn't know where I was going to go.
Because I remember you were sitting at the draft. We were live on location. And everyone's like, oh, CJ's going to fall. CJ's going to fall. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like the day when you wake up and you hear someone's going to fall, they don't usually end up falling.
Well, I mean, that's people's opinion and everybody's entitled to their own. But, you know, I live in reality and I'm the person, you know, sitting in the shoes that has to get picked. So I honestly wasn't stressed about it. Like, if I dropped, cool. If I got picked early, cool. Because at the end of the day, like, it's not in my control. I'm not the one making the decision. I did what I did on film. I had the interviews. I did everything in my power and my control at that point. So at that time, I was kind of relaxed and just ready to figure out where I was going to live for the next couple of years.
Yeah. There's this theory out there, and you've obviously heard it, that Frank Reich and Josh McCown, they wanted to draft you. Then David Tepper of the Panthers, the owner, usurped it to get Bryce Young. There's that video with you, McCown, and Reich. And it looks like he's trying to start some pickup basketball game or whatever he said. Was any of that stuff like true? The Panthers, did it surprise you when they didn't take you?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I knew that it was going to be me or Bryce because they told me that they were looking for a quarterback. And I wasn't necessarily saying it wasn't going to be me or it was. I mean, I was kind of just looking at my phone, ready for the phone call if it came. And I seen Bryce and his family excited. And I was just super happy for my brother. You know, at that point, you see somebody work so hard for so long. I've known Bryce since like the eighth grade. So to see him accomplish his dreams was just amazing. And, you know, I got picked right after him and you can see his reaction. Then they caught it on video. So, you know, just a lot of things that people were seeing online and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, the Panthers were the ones who made the decision. And, you know, that's the decision they made. So at the end of the day, you know, I think Bryce is going to be great there. I know I'm going to be great with the Texans and everything happens for a reason.
It's cool because, you know, I know some of the local guys on Sports Radio 610, you know, part of the same company as we're talking to CJ Stroud. And for 3-4 years, every time we'd bring him on the show, it was like negative story with the Texans. To see DeMeco come in, you come in, Will Anderson Jr. come in with the third overall pick, how you guys just changed that organization with Nick Caserio so quickly, it's pretty damn impressive and cool to see.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a grind, you know. It's not as easy as it seems. And I know the people who are behind closed doors did a lot of great – I mean, behind the scenes, have done a lot of great things that make our team so special. Not just like Nick and DeMeco, they're at the forefront of that, and the McNairs, but just our staff, our janitors, like our cooks, our chefs, our nutritionists, our strength staff, like a lot of people have been great for a long time, and now the world's starting to notice. So, I mean, it's just really special to be a part of something great.
Were you – this may be a weird question for you, but were you surprised the success that you had this year? Because it didn't seem like there was a rookie curve or anything like that. It seemed like you got right into the league and you were elite right away.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I wouldn't say I was surprised. I've always been a confident person. You know, I always have had my worries and my doubts in a sense. But, you know, I know that God has put a special talent into me and a special type of mindset that I knew if I was just confident in myself, that I know I can do anything to Christ who strengthens me. So I really knew I had a feeling I was going to play good after like week one. And really after preseason, we played the Dolphins and then we went to the Saints. And like the game really started to slow down around that point. And then we played the Ravens and they were a great defense. And I still moved the ball down the field pretty well. And then we played the Colts and I played well. So like after that, I got my rhythm and everything started to slow down.
When you think of where you could eventually go to, because you're number one, you barely turned over the football. Yeah, you had one of the greatest rookie seasons we've ever seen. What do you think the ceiling of CJ Stroud is? Like, how much better do you think you could get?
I think I get a lot better. You know, it's something that I pride myself on is never making a mistake twice, you know, and there's a lot of mistakes that I made this year that hopefully I don't do again, you know, and a lot of mistakes are inevitable. Like what I learned in this league,
you throw
the
ball 400 times, you're bound to throw a few interceptions. 100%,
you know, and the biggest thing for me is just that next play, letting that next play be my best play. So there's a lot of things that I learned this year that I'm going to use next year. And I think the sky's the limit. I don't think there is a limit, to be honest. I don't think the sky or anything. I think whatever the work I put in and whatever God wants for my life is going to happen.
Do you feel like right now you're a top five quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, sir, I do. I think I put it on film. I think my numbers speak for itself, especially missing two games. You know, I think if I'd have missed those two games, my numbers would have been just as good or one of the best in the league. So, and I think you can see the impact I had on my team, you know. So I'm not in the business of like arguing I'm top five. I'm not. I really don't care. I mean, I just want to win.
Well, who do you think are the top five quarterbacks in football?
Now it's quick on the spot. I would say, of course, Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I would say myself. And then I would probably go
Burrow.
No, I mean, not because he didn't play last year. Okay. Of course, Burrow is like one of my favorite quarterbacks ever. Mm-hmm. But I would say either Tua or Tua Hurts. I think. Oh, Josh Allen, excuse me. Okay. So, but I think I'm like definitely top three, top fourth.
Growing up, like, who'd you kind of look up to? Like, who were some of the quarterbacks that you watched and you were like, wow, that really impressed you?
Yeah, I watched a lot of Joe Burrow. That's somebody who like, I watched, like, he, like, we kind of play a similar type of game. Can make every throw, can extend plays, really smart, you know, make the pocket right, great pocket mobility. So a lot of stuff like that. My favorite player growing up was Mike Vick, and I'm not nothing like Mike Vick. You know, he's a dog. He can run his tail off, but I'm not that good of a runner. But he was my favorite player. And then Deshaun Watson was also I was a big fan of his.
Talking to CJ Stroud right now. When we get to this game on Sunday, from a quarterback perspective, like, what else is there to say about Patrick Mahomes? But the conversation around Brock Purdy is fascinating. You know, people want to call him a system quarterback, game manager, good quarterback. It doesn't matter to me. I want your quarterback cap on, though. What do you see when you watch Brock?
Yeah, I think there's a there's a unfair bias on Brock because he's on a great team. But at the same time, to play quarterback and be in the Super Bowl, you have to be great yourself. And don't get me wrong, like, this is a team sport. It's, you want great teammates. Like, I would love to, like, have, you know what I'm saying? I do have great teammates to help me, you know? So I don't think Brock is getting the right treatment. I think he's a great quarterback. I think definitely he's a top 10 quarterback in his league. And he's going to continue to prove people wrong, you know? I love watching his game. It's very accurate. He's very mobile. He gets, because we're in a similar type of offense. He gets the ball in the right player's hands at the right time. He doesn't force the ball. And honestly, there's nothing easy or basic about being an NFL quarterback. So, I mean, I have a ton of respect for that guy, and I think he's a great quarterback.
All right, the biggest conversation with this Super Bowl is Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. You think they're going to end up getting married one day? I kind of feel like there's going to be wedding bells between them two.
No comment. I really don't care. Like, shout out Chad. Chad's my dog. Like, I know he's not worried about who I'm dating. So
yeah. But the coverage of it is wild. It really is.
I mean, you know, it's what's hot right now. It's the world we live in. And Taylor Swift's a great artist, and Travis Kelce's the best tight end ever played football. So yeah, Travis is a good friend of mine, and I have a lot of respect for that dude. And he showed me a lot of love and gave me a lot of great advice. So you know, shout out to Travis and Taylor.
Tom Brady's my favorite quarterback of all time. You know, following Brady as closely as I have, he really liked Lamar Jackson a few years ago. He's really grown to like you. I know you have a little bit of a relationship with Tom Brady. How did you guys kind of link up?
Through a mutual friend, Michael Rubin.
Oh, okay. Fanatics.
Yeah, and then Mike Rubin's been amazing to me. Just a lot of leadership from him, a lot of fellowship, just being a big brother to me, and I have a lot of love for Rube. And he connected us. Me, Will, Levis, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce sat down at lunch.
With that rookie symposium, right?
Yes. Yeah, we sat down at lunch with Tom and Travis Scott, and they just gave us game, you know, for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And that's when me and Tom met. And we really didn't talk much after that. And then I did his podcast after we played the Bengals, I believe. And I grabbed his number, and I've been, you know, in contact with him ever since. And he's a really great mentor, and he's giving back, which I appreciate.
You're a humble guy, CJ Stroud, but who was the one text message or like DM that you got this year? Because everyone was talking about you, right? Sensational rookie season. Who was the one person that you're like, wow, I can't believe that this person just reached out to me, that you were even starstruck with? Anyone?
Not necessarily. I don't really go through my DMs much.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of love from like a lot of rappers I used to listen to.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's kind of cool. Excuse me. So yeah, I've gotten really cool with Quavo.
Oh, that's awesome.
With Migos. Yeah, man, he's a great artist, but man, he's even a better friend, you know. So he's showing me a lot of love, and you know, just he's a really big football fan too. So Quavo is probably one of the people that I remember that like, I met. I'm like, dang, Quavo knew who I am, you know what I'm saying?
Why should you ever? You're gonna win Rookie of the Year, but why should you win it over Puka Nacua? Who, if it was any other year, I think he would have won Rookie of the Year.
Honestly, like, I don't know. That's up for other people to decide. I think Puka, me and Puka trained together our whole offseason.
Oh, you guys have a good relationship?
Yeah, so that was my brother. Like, we hooped together. We went out to eat. Like, we were together for about, like, 6-7 months straight. So, he's a great player. He works really hard. Comes from a great family. And, I mean, I'm just super proud of that dude, you know? So, I mean, if I win it, cool. If I don't, I'm not tripping. It's like, I'm not really in it for the accolades. See, I just want to
get respect. I'm telling you, you have... If I'm describing a franchise quarterback, you're right there.
Thanks, man.
Because seriously, You say all the right things. You go out on the field. You played your ass off this year. But you know what's going to happen now. People are going to be like, Texans are one-hit wonders. They're not going to be able to repeat this. Why is this just the beginning? Why are you guys only going to keep on getting better? You tell me.
Just because, I mean, it's up to us. It's not up to anybody. Like, that's what people are paid to do, is to talk. We're paid to play, you know. So I'm going to go out there and do what I'm paid to do and try to execute at a high level. And, you know, if it doesn't happen this year, it doesn't happen. It's people got to understand it's part of the game. You know, I know a lot of people want these clickbaits and all these these videos where they're right or they're wrong. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, at the end of the day, I live in reality and I love this sport and I have a lot of respect for this sport. So I'm not going to come up here and just tell people I'm going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, because I know that's not reality. Like, you have to put in the work. You have to be able to meet opportunity with work, and hopefully that matches up. And sometimes you go out there and you lay an egg, you know? So, I'm just really, excited for next year and for that next challenge, because it's not going to be easy, and nothing in my life has ever been easy. So I'm really excited just to play another year with my teammates and my brothers. So, I don't really care what other people got to say, and I respect everybody's opinion, but you know, it's up to us to go out there and execute.
You got the awesome zip up right here with Visa. Yeah, you tell me what we're doing today with Visa. What do we got cooking? What's on the credit card docket?
So yeah, I've been working with Visa for about 2 years now. And I mean, it's been amazing just, what they stand for, working with fans and trying to help people maximize their potential. And really just set goals and reach those goals. And that's something I can relate to, being a professional athlete, you know? So, it's been amazing working with them, and, we really just want people to understand, like, their potential and get to that at the highest level, and knowing that I'm in the same race as them on that journey, you know. So we have the Fandium Pandium booth over there that I did the meet and greet today, and we'll be around this week. So, man, it's been an honor working with Visa.
What impressed you the most about D'Amico Ryans, by the way?
Really just his aura, you know, his personality, his vibrant personality, just how positive he is, even though, like, sometimes he's not a negative coach, you know, like he's not that guy. He's not that guy to come and just like yell at you for no reason. He's going to just keep it real. But he's going to set a foundation. He's going to set a standard. And if you don't meet that standard, you stick out like a sore thumb. And honestly, me and Will came in with that same mindset. Yeah. Cause honestly, we didn't always have winners in the locker room, in our organization. And it took a while for us to get guys to learn how to win. And, you know, to have the preparation the right way. And D'Amico has been at the forefront of that. So, man, I've been blessed enough to be able to learn from such a great coach.
CJ Stroud, before we let you run, once again, on behalf of Visa, and you've been great on this show today, and you had an unbelievable season. Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he's the best player, period, in this draft. No disrespect to any of the quarterbacks. I know all we do is talk about quarterbacks. You were a teammate of his at Ohio State. Is it just like when you watch him, you just know that's going to be a dude that's going to be a Hall of Famer one day?
Yeah, when you talk about, like, everybody talks about, like, the prototypical guy, like, he's fast, he's big, he has releases, he has routes. Marv is – my thing, what I look for first, is he a dog? Like, is he somebody who wants the ball every play? And that's that guy right there, you know? Like you said, he's the best player in the world coming out of college. And quarterback or not, like, I have a lot of respect for the quarterback coming up in this class as well. But at the end of the day, I think if you're looking for the most complete, the most polished, the most NFL game ready week one to make an impact on the NFL team, Marvin Harrison is that guy for you. So I'm super proud of that dude, man. He's the hardest worker I've ever met in my life, other than my mom probably. But, yeah. You know, so like he's just a dog in everything he does. So just a lot of respect and just proud of him.
All right, I know you got to bounce. I don't want to keep you here all day. Last one for CJ Stroud. Your favorite memory from this season is what?
I would say winning that playoff contention game against the Colts, and then winning the playoff game at home, beating Cleveland. That was a big moment.
Well, hey, best of luck. I can't wait to see what's going to happen the rest of your career. Keep on proving people wrong, and thanks for doing this.
My man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
There you go. CJ Stroud joining us on Radio Row. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a break. We'll come on back, and joining us on set next from the Los Angeles Chargers, Austin Eckler.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow. That makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years and I still don't know. Right now we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world. And we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Now joining us, Austin Eckler, star running back in the NFL, and he's here today on behalf of Dairy Queen. Austin, always great to see you. How you been?
Likewise. Thanks for having me, man. I've been great. How about yourself?
I've been fantastic. Can't complain. We'll talk about Dairy Queen in just a bit, but how do you kind of look back at this season? It obviously was bizarre with the Chargers, but how do you kind of give me your perspective of it?
Yeah, a lot of learning lessons that I've learned for myself just as a leader, of where I need to be better. And then, you know, just learning how, you know, the ugly side of NFL can play out sometimes. It's unfortunate, but it's a team game. And, you know, we experienced a team loss this year as a season, and I know we're ready to bounce back, everyone that was on that team. And I know I'm ready to continue to go forward. Now I feel like I have a little bit more that I've gone through. I feel like I have some saltiness from that. And, you know, I'm going to do everything to not let that happen again for whatever team I'm on, you know, next year.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was like, you say continue to go forward. It's like we don't even know.
Always go forward,
where you're going to play. We've talked about the business side of this before. You know how people are now going to try to devalue you just because of the position. And then when you don't have a great season, people are going to start to say, oh, Austin Eckler's slowing down. This is what happens with running backs. Why do you still have a lot of good football left in
you?
Well,
I mean, that's what happens, right? If you're just talking in general, right, if things start to trend downward, you know, people are going to make assumptions. You know, and it's up for you to prove that, you got to bounce back. And so that's what I'm looking at right now is, hey, we did have a down year, right? It affects the entire team, which affects anyone going into free agency that year, which happened to be me. And for me, I still got a lot of fire. And really, you know, going into year eight, I'm in a position where I'm looking at what's the quality of the team that I'm going into as far as how they want to use me. You know, what's their offensive coordinator situation? What's the running back situation? For me, I'm bringing fire. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to bounce back because, it was a down year. But it doesn't define you. I don't think 1 year defines you, especially when you've put, you know, increasing role of years before that. And so for me, it's another time for me to go out there and actually prove that, hey, I'm still a dynamic player and can play at a high standard and be consistent in it.
Austin Eckler here with us. I thought that Brandon Staley should not have been brought back after the playoff choke over a year ago.
Playoff choke.
Yeah. That's what it is, you know?
Yeah, we choked, for sure.
But I thought going into the season that even though I believed in the talent on the roster, when you have a coach that I from afar sense a lot of people didn't believe in, that could create a messy situation. Is that a fair assessment? Did the message of Staley just not really resonate with that locker room?
No, I think that's not a fair assessment at all.
Why?
100% believed in Brandon Staley from day one, and we were bought in. We were bought into the message of our way, right? Relationships and competition. That was what Brandon Staley spoke. That is what he brought to the table. That is what he preached. Now it takes a village, you know, and he's been the lightning rod of all of the negativity that's gone on. It's his fault. It's him. It's all of us. We're all part of that. We all put that product on the field. We were all letting things that shouldn't have slip. The standard is created by the leaders of the team and the head coach. The head coach is supposed to basically guide the culture, which, you know, they're bringing in Jim Harbaugh, who I think in here is good at that type of, leadership. So that would be great. But it's a village. So the leadership, we got to step up. You know, if I'm back there on the team, our leadership has to step up in creating the culture of holding the standard, of holding people accountable, because it was lacking. It wasn't just Brandon Staley.
Gotcha. Fair enough. I respect that answer. Austin Eckler here with us. For you, and I'm sure you got to think about it. You don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. But, like, in your gut, do you feel like you played your last game with the Chargers?
In my gut, no. I think there's definitely a possibility I could be back. And that's because I think just where I've been, I know their situation, you know, they're looking for a running back. I just moved out, and so also did Joshua Kelly, who was right behind me, who's backing me up this year. I'm not closing any doors, and so yeah, for that, I don't think it's my last game. It could be, absolutely, but no.
It's kind of funny, as Austin Eckler's here with us. We've talked to you when the running back issue was very hot in the offseason. Here we are in the Super Bowl. You have Christian McCaffrey, who some could have argued could have been the MVP of the league this year, and Isaiah Pacheco. That's one angry runner. An angry runner. I love watching him play.
Right. And you said it's a running back issue. It's not a running back. It was more of a player issue of, you know, getting guys franchised where they're not allowed to go out and actually find a fair market value for themselves and find a home of someone who is willing to give them that fair market value and at least go through that negotiation process. And so that's why it's a player. It's not just running backs. It happened to the tight ends. It happened to the safeties. It's just, in general, an issue that we face, you know, that's in our CBA, unfortunately, that where we can get locked in for 1 year, take all the risk, and then also get an artificial number that's going to be your contract number. And so it's just something that we don't like. We want to push back because we want to give our guys opportunities to go get their contract and get a few years locked in. But, yeah, it's important for us to see that we had running backs that are continuing to play at a high level, young guys, old guys, right? We have Raheem at 31 having his best year. You know, we have Christian who's just in year seven, you know, having, you know, his year that he's having. And so as you see, you know, it's not every running back, but there are definitely running backs that deserve to be in a position to go and actually get themselves a new paycheck. And we're going to see that coming up here with Christian, you know, after next year.
Who do you think wins the game on Sunday?
No idea. Don't even care.
Really?
I just hope it's a good game.
Will you watch it?
I will absolutely watch it. Yeah. I'm not playing. So here's the thing. I want my guys to get through there healthy and then also, right, just have a good time. I want it to be a good game and then everyone get through.
So that's why I've always liked you, because you understand the business side and you also know the work that it puts in with your story to reach where you are. The whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, I don't get why it annoys anyone. I think it's great for football, and I think it's great for them individually because it seems genuine.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for football. You know, if it's bringing viewership, it's bringing new people, it's bringing the culture together, that's exactly what football – that's why I love football when it comes to a fan side. It brings people together, especially with fantasy. That's why I love that, because it brings people together.
Yeah.
So if Taylor is making an impact and their relationship is genuine, which, like you said, it seems like, that's great. And if it brings more people together, like, why are you rooting against that? You know, like, to me, that's what we need in this country, is more things to bring us together. And if that's going to do it, and it's as simple as a relationship and showing someone on film of like, hey, bringing this music and this, you know, football life, these two individuals together, then let's keep going. Like, we should be rooting for that, in my opinion.
Absolutely. What are you doing today on behalf of Dairy Queen?
Yeah, here with Dairy Queen. So, I mean, we're talking Super Bowl. So, I mean, what are we doing for the Super Bowl?
Got to have some grub.
You got to have some food, you know, and Dairy Queen obviously is known for the blizzards. However, right, we're talking about the food side of Dairy Queen, which they have a new item on the menu, which is super appropriate for Super Bowl. They have the honey barbecue sauced and tossed chicken strips. So we're talking some chicken strips. They also have burgers. And so, yeah, we're bringing a new menu item to y'all at your Super Bowl get-togethers. And, you know, grab yourself a Blizzard while you're going to pick up your chicken strips as well. So
yeah, you can never have too much food, never too much drinks on Super Bowl Sunday.
So, yeah, if you want to check out more, make sure to check out the website. Check out DairyQueen.com or check out the Dairy Queen app as well. So, yeah, make sure you get yourself some DQ and, enjoy.
The last thing I'll ask you, and obviously for this game, the quarterbacks are talked about so much, and I find it funny how much people spend voicing their opinion on Brock Purdy at this point. The guy wins games. That's all that matters to me. But your quarterback in Justin Herbert, he's gotten some of that criticism. I still see a heck of a football player, and I would want him on my team. I don't know how many more quarterbacks I would take over him.
Yeah.
Do you kind of just laugh at the conversation surrounding Justin, where people just go, oh, he's an overrated quarterback, he's not a great quarterback?
No, it's the same. Look, when you look at our team, it's the same, especially coming out for this year, it's the same thing that I'm going through right now. Oh, Austin's, you know, had a down. Yeah. The whole team had a down year. You know, Keenan Allen popped off, so there was an outlier there.
He always pops
off. You know, like, I mean,
there was. And it's funny, they always say he's the most underrated player.
There was an outlier. You know, every once in a while you get there, but when the team has a down year, everyone's affected. And, you know, not even Keenan, that he probably could have had an even better year if we were continuing to play at a higher level as a culture and as a team together. And so, luckily for Justin, he plays a position where he can play, you know, a decade and a half.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's shorter lived, you know, just as far as the lifespan as playing running back. And so for us, like, looking at Justin, it's like, look, he's continuing to grow. He's continuing to make an impact. It's going to come down to more than just, oh, Justin has to have the best career of it, year of his career. It's people around him also need to be stepping up and playing at that type of level too. And like I said, it takes a village, and it takes a village to even looking at Pat Mahomes. You got to have guys around you that you can at least lean on, and they continue to be consistent all the time. And then also the coaching and defense plays a factor into it too. It's a whole team that leads to the success and how someone looks. You know, Mahomes is out there playing defense, but his defense is showing up for him, yeah, right? Well, and that helps him win games.
Now he said he could be a game manager, as he did against the Ravens. He said it.
And so it takes a village. It takes a village. And so for Justin to continue to reach those new heights, it's not just him. Like you can't ever put the blame in football. That's why football is a great game, and that's why it's a tough game. It's because it takes more than just a couple individuals that can carry the team. It's so much more than that. And go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, always appreciate your time. Yeah, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on and doing this. There he is, Austin Eckler, joining us on behalf of Dairy Queen.
All righty, good stuff by Austin Eckler. Appreciate him coming on the show. We will take a break. We got one more segment to play here on a very busy Thursday edition on Radio Row inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, as CBS Sports Radio is on location to get you ready for the Super Bowl. And we come on back, DJ Moore is going to stop by. We'll get his thoughts on who should be the number one overall pick in the draft and what is Chicago going to do with that pick. Update time first. Let's get to the ACK man, Rich Ackerman.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back. Better than ever with the Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's a Thursday inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center on Radio Row in Las Vegas. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And now joining us from the Chicago Bears, this guy keeps on just having good season after good season after good season. It's weird. I keep on calling him the most underrated wide receiver in the league, and he shouldn't be underrated anymore because he's been good for a very long time. And that, of course, is DJ Moore on behalf of Mountain Dew. DJ, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Being here with Mountain Dew has been a blast, you know, especially with the new Baja Blast being available everywhere this year. So I'm just not at Taco Bell.
Yeah. I got to ask you, though, and we'll talk more about Mountain Dew in just a bit. Does the underrated tag annoy you? Because like Keenan Allen forever has been the most underrated wide receiver in football. And I go, when everyone says you're the most underrated wide receiver in football, shouldn't they just then rate you properly? Like you're a top 10 wide receiver.
The underrated tag don't bother me. You know, I just go out there and do me, no matter what the narrative is. At the end of the day, being underrated, no. When you make big splashes, you start trending. So I'm happy with it.
When you look at your time in Carolina and now the last few years in Chicago, for you, what's been the biggest difference as you continue to just get better and better as a player?
I just had a reset, you know, had a reset this year. And it was like I was a rookie going into Chicago. So even though it was my sixth year, I just had to reset and just hone in on what I usually do and do it better than what I was doing in Carolina.
Was that at all bizarre for you, the whole process? Like, we know Carolina, they end up getting their quarterback, you know, a year later via the future in Bryce Young. But was that, like, bizarre for you, the whole process when the trade did go down?
Yeah, it was a little shocking. I thought I was going to be in Carolina forever, but that didn't happen. They gave up the trade for the number one pick, which made me feel like I was the number one pick for the Bears. So I was pretty happy when I really got there. So at the beginning, it was just like a lot of uncertainty and a little scary because I've always been in Carolina.
Yeah, it was really, you look back at the deal, it was highway robbery for the Chicago Bears. Like, hey, maybe Bryce Young turns out to be a great player, but now Chicago has the number one overall pick again. You guys got better as the season did go on. And we'll see what happens, obviously, this offseason, as there's a lot of speculation. You're probably tired of the speculation already.
I see a lot of it between Justin and Caleb. So I'm just looking forward to really getting it narrowed down to what's really going on.
So you sell me on Justin Fields. I think the organization has failed him more than it's on him when you look back at his first 3 years in the NFL. But you are with the guy. You know the guy very well through this last year. Justin Fields, what do you think he could end up being as a quarterback?
It could be top 10. You know, right now he's still learning. He's still growing. As you've seen at the end of the year, what he was doing, what was able to do with the offense, and just doing everything that he can to put us in the best possible position to win. It was great just to see him grow after he got hurt for those four or five games and then come back on a tear. It was amazing.
What would you do? Like, let's say you're the general manager. You're Ryan Poles. What do you do with the number one overall?
Everybody know I'm a big Justin advocate. So I say we keep Justin and just keep building up the roster.
So Marvin Harrison Jr. has been that player that's been speculated.
Yeah.
Getting him in that wide receiving room. You know, I know that you'd have two great options, a great 1-2 punch. Would mm-hmm. that be something that would entice you?
That would be good. You know, I'm always going to root for the hometown kid, you know, grew up watching him grow up, and we ran the same track team. So it would be amazing to see him be on the same team with me and just go out there and show what he can do.
Talking to DJ Moore right now, Matt Eberflus, mm-hmm. as a head football coach, how would you know, you've had a few coaches in this league. How would you describe playing for Coach Eberflus?
He was motivating us and keeping us all together throughout the year, throughout the ups and downs. So it's a testament to him to just keep the locker room together, and then the leaders of the locker room just going and just emphasizing that message and just staying together.
Are you kind of numb to all the change that happens in the NFL? Like, you go from Carolina, and then this was your first year in Chicago. Now, right, you had Luke Getsy. Now you have a new offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron. Does this change? It just feels normal now, even though you have to learn all these new things?
Yeah, it's become normal, and I've become numb to it because I know at the end of the day it's a product. What you do, what have you done for me lately type business. So just having turnover like that is just – normal, and I know I got to go out there produce what I can before I get up out of there.
So, like, when you have to learn a new system, mm-hmm. and I don't know how much, like, contact, right, you're even allowed to have at this point. How do you try to get ahead of the curve so you guys don't have a slow start?
You know, you could watch film on where you came from. So I watched some film on Seattle and what they do, and watch the receivers and how they were running concepts with last year.
Did you see that clip yesterday of Jaxon Smith-Njigba? Did you at all see that?
I seen a little bit of it about him talking about Shane.
Yeah, he was like, is this off? Like, it didn't look good. He tried to save himself. It didn't look good, though.
It was a little mix, so I don't know how to take it. So I'm going to just form my own opinion when I really get down to it.
Have you had conversations with Shane so far?
We text, and that was about it. So when we see each other in person, I think it's going to be more like dialogue and what's going on.
So you're easy to root for, as DJ Morris here with us on behalf of Mountain Dew. Obviously, you're a heck of a player. People want to see Chicago get back to what they're capable of. I think it's good for the NFL. You being in that building, knowing Ryan Poles, who believed in you, traded for you, knowing Matt Eberflus, as this is a big year for him. Why do you think this group and what you guys are doing in Chicago is going to end up ultimately working when we see the Bears get back into the playoffs consistently?
It's just a lot of togetherness. Everybody's just one and on the same page from the top down, from the ownership all the way down to the janitor. We all on the same page of what we want to get accomplished. And you've seen bits and pieces of that last year. And then to finish out the year, we lost to Green Bay. But the games before that, you've seen it all on a rise. So we look forward to doing that.
What are your thoughts on this game coming up on Sunday between the Chiefs and Niners?
I got the Niners winning.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I'm picking the Niners, too.
Yeah.
I feel like every person I've talked to this week on this show goes, man, the Niners have a great team, but I can't bet against or I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes. Why are you going with the Niners?
I'm going with the Niners just based off of Christian. No, just the player he is, and then just knowing how hard he worked. So he's going to try to pull it off on his own, or, you know, the whole team going – either raise up to the occasion or it's going to be bad.
Well, how'd you process the whole former teammate of yours, obviously Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore is here with us. His mother basically shaming Olivia and him to go get a luxury box for a Super Bowl and putting that out on social media. I think Christian has $2 million to spare for a Super Bowl box, right?
Oh, $2 million is a lot for a box, but I think they got it, didn't they? So I think they pulled it off, and hey, kudos to them. I don't know if I'd have spent $2 million.
Yeah, probably not. Tell everyone, hey, operate on your own. Get your own tickets. Don't shame me publicly in the media to get a nice luxury box at the Super Bowl. How do you look back at that experience in Carolina when you were with Christian McCaffrey? You know, you're a great offensive player. He's obviously an elite offensive player. What did you guys kind of learn from one another?
Just work ethic and just feeding off each other. You know, we did some workouts during the offseason together, and just seeing how hard he works and just – if I made a play, he would want to make a play. If he made a play, then I think I'd want to make a play and go out there and do what's best for the team when we was in Carolina. You know, at the end of the day, we was doing all we could, and that's what we did.
So tell me what you're doing today on behalf of Mountain Dew.
I'm here to promote Baja Blast. You know, they went from just being at Taco Bell. Now they're nationwide every day. So y'all got to go get it. And then they got a great Super Bowl commercial coming this Sunday. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I hope everybody loves it.
Are you in the commercial?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, okay. Under a little embargo. We may just got some special piece of information here. When you look at other receivers around the league, who are some guys that you just really respect and you go, man, some of the best in the league?
I give it to Steph. Been watching for a while. Justin, Devontae, Keenan Allen, people like that. They just go out there and just do their games, and they all got different ways of playing receivers. So I watch their tape.
The last year with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo was bizarre. Mm-hmm. And you know, he didn't have a touchdown for a long stretch towards the end of the season. I think it was like week six, his last 100-yard game as well. But what do you really like about Stephon Diggs as a wide receiver that makes you think he still has a few years of really highly productive?
Maryland guy. No, that's right. The big thing. That's
you're a little guy. The Maryland guy, the McCaffrey connection, that's what I realized.
Yeah, so, no, just seeing his game always be the same and him evolving from going from Minnesota to the Bills, it's been great. So I still watch him, and I know he'd be – frustrated sometimes, but that's the passion that he has for the game.
So with the connection with Stephon, I'm just wondering, with him going through something similar, being the guy in Minnesota, then getting traded to Buffalo, is there anything that you kind of learned from that from afar with your situation, Carolina, Chicago?
I seen that he had great numbers, so I was like, shoot, maybe this is a good opportunity. And then, also Christian got traded, so yeah. He had a great opportunity to go, too.
Well, hey, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Good luck the rest of the way.
Hey, thank you.
There he is, DJ Moore, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And what an action-packed show that we had today. Before we get on out of here, just when we look back kind of at that conversation with DJ, you know, I really think the Bears should take Marvin Harrison Jr. or trade that number one overall pick and continue to rock and roll with Justin Fields. But I think it's clear, regardless as to what I think, that what I think should happen and what will happen are two different conversations. And when you get into the will component of this, you know, I'm not saying I sensed it from DJ Moore, because DJ Moore has been clear that he wants Justin Fields as their quarterback and he's going to continue to support and rock with Justin Fields as their quarterback until something happens. But you just kind of get the sense that even though DJ Moore may want something to happen, or I think something should happen, that the Bears have kind of already made that decision. And I don't think it behooves them to announce what they're going to do right now, because you're trying to get intrigue up there and kind of rile it up to see maybe if someone does make you an offer that you can't refuse. And there's already been reported a bunch of offers that have been made for the number one overall pick. But at the end of the day, I don't think that we are going to see the number one pick come and go, and it's not going to be Caleb Williams going to Chicago. And then once that domino falls, as we've seen in years past, like kind of like with the Cardinals situation and other situations as well, once you make the selection on the quarterback, then you trade your current quarterback. And that's what I think is going to end up happening with the Bears, where you will take Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick, and then from there, you will end up trading Justin Fields, and you could go to the multitude of options and destinations that we could all assume and kind of drum on up on where Justin Fields would be a good fit. Because I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback. I don't think he's great, but I think he's good. I don't think he's been put, though, in the best situation for all 3 years with the Chicago Bears. All righty, that concludes the Zach Gelb Show on a Thursday from Radio Row. We're coming on back tomorrow with a jam-packed action show from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 p.m. Pacific. Big thanks today to Puka Nacua, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge that we did with them in the 10-year anniversary. You can check it out on social media, at Zach Gelb, on Instagram and Twitter, ZACHGELB. Big thanks to Luke Kuechly, Joe Montana, Michael Penix Jr., CJ Stroud, Austin Eckler, and DJ Moore. We'll do it again tomorrow, final day on Radio Row inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Big thanks to everyone here on site. Big thanks to everyone back in our New York City studios, and each and every one of you for listening to the show. We out. Bye-bye, everybody. Peace.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.